Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is a new episode of the Future Hour, and now is the introduction for today's podcast. And today we have the guest of my dear friend Julian Alexander, and he is a philosopher, a thinker, an artist, a businessman, and my dear friend. And he really believes that as long as you or I really think it through, really practice and sharpening our thinking, and in this way, it helps us better thinking through the consequences and actions of our behaviors, and hence we can really set ourselves onto this life path that you are going after your goal and you're getting closer to your goal by the day. And he's a dear friend of mine. We actually met through our mutual friend Alex. Met Alex in Australia, and then 1 year later, when I first moved to California near Los Angeles area, Alex put me in touch with Julian, and we had such a good time in California. We went on adventures, we went on traveling, we go to the beach, and we done so many things. And now, after 4 years later, we finally been together in the same room again and record this beautiful episode of podcast for you. So check it out. We talk about leadership and many, many more other things. And he is such a precise thinker and a logical one. So hope you all enjoy this podcast as much as we did, and stay tuned till next time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what a day. We're so excited. Another episode of the Future Hour, and today I'm so lucky to be here with my dear friend Julian Prof, that we have not seen each other maybe for like 3 years or so. 3.5 years?
3.5 years, I think. More, yeah.
Ever since San Diego, ever since California. And
yeah, I mean, at that time, like 4 years ago, I still was in San Diego. So yeah, the first time we met was probably around 4 years ago.
Yes. And then yes,
I left in September.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we spent.
So it's even more closer to 4 years, probably.
Exactly.
And it's crazy.
Yeah. And so spend that beautiful summer together. And also at the same time, for those who you don't know us, let us tell you a little bit the origin, and especially the origin story of Julian. And tell us a little bit what you're doing in San Diego, what you're studying.
Year abroad for my studies, in my bachelor's degree, which I was trying to finish in Frankfurt. So I did everything before that, and then I still had to like this mandatory a semester abroad, basically, and then I could choose where I wanted to go, and I thought, like, why not go to California? Mm. And in the end, that's why I went to California, the first thought why would I go to California was because I was doing powerlifting. I just started this kind of sport, and I was super interested in it, like weightlifting, getting stronger, and mm-hmm. doing everything like that.
Yeah.
And then I thought, like, California is the place to be if you want to get to know people that do CrossFit and do powerlifting and right. do weightlifting and that are getting stronger. Yeah. And so that was the only choice for me. I had to go to California.
Yeah.
And then I went to San Diego.
Right.
And the funny thing is, how did we meet?
I know.
A friend of mine from my studies, we've been in the same class. He just had his semester abroad a year earlier than I did, and you met Alex in Australia,
right.
a year before I went to America, and then you got to know each other, you got right. great friends, how I think, and and then a year after I went to America, to San Diego, and then you were hitting me up being like, oh yeah, Julian, you're the nice close friend to Alex. Yeah. Why not just hang out? I'm just moved to LA, and then everything started from that on.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
That moment on, yeah.
And I remember many of the days and nights we would just go out and we'd take a camera, we'd go to the beach and take photos, we'd just meet people and taking photos inside everywhere. Literally, we'd take photos everywhere. And, meeting people like everywhere we go, and as it was absolutely just incredible experience. So share with us, like, something you could be inside the classroom or could be outside the classroom, like something you learned and carried on with you from your experience in America that you think that will be quite interesting and important that's worth sharing here.
Mm-hmm. I have like two takeaways, like, that are pretty big.
Yes.
one takeaway was that America, a lot of people, and I didn't expect that because I'm not just not used to it from like the culture that I'm living here in Germany and Europe, is that people are aware, pretty open, and they are very interested in people that come from different nations. Because it's for American, it's very hard to get to Europe. And when you're living in Europe, it's very easy to visit like Spain, France, Italy, Denmark, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Just so close and you can visit much more different cultures. And in America, it's way harder to really get to know different cultures. That's how I explained to myself. Like the people were super open and it seemed like they were very interested in the culture I'm bringing with myself and everything like that. And the other thing was that that's just a personal thing, to trust people more, because there were some situations like buying a car basically for my own money, doing stuff like that. And I had certain plans that I wanted to do there. So I definitely needed a car in America.
Like 5 days in Lake Tahoe, huh?
Yes, for example.
Yeah.
And I was super lucky. I got a perfect car for like cheap amount of money and it worked as it should for the amount of money.
Yeah.
And the guy who sold it to me, he had like a cars dealership for like pre-owned cars.
Oh, okay.
And I just went there by accident. So I was it was on my second day in San Diego. I just went around the neighborhood and I thought like, oh dude, you gotta look for cars. And then I went to Hertz and to like bigger companies.
Yeah.
And like those cars were super expensive, like $5,000 even more. And I didn't want to
whatever car
pay still. I didn't want to pay it. And then I was just walking along.
Yeah.
And before, and this is where like two stories now
intertwine
each
other.
I knew before I went to San Diego, I was searching for a powerlifting gym that I'm going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And as my walking around, exploring the area, I just crossed the street and I noticed the street name was Convoy Street. I was like, you know that name because, oh, there was a gym that I was looking into getting a membership, which is called Convoy Strength. And then exactly that was the street where the gym was that I actually wanted to have my membership in San Diego. So, and then on the other side of the street, there was a car dealership. So I had, so I found my gym and I found my first car at the same place actually. And then I went into the car dealership, said to him like, yeah, I have 2000 euros, something more. You got something and he got something. So I bought a Pontiac G6. And it was a totally fine car. It was my first visit to the gym. So I had like two things at once just by accident. So
two birds, one stone, right? It was one of your first days.
My second day in San Diego.
Then
3 days later, I bought a car and then I had a car like after like 4 or 5 days.
And
my gym also. So I got everything I wanted just in the already in the first week of being there.
This might be something that will recur quite a few times throughout the podcast, which is the having trust when you are doing things, when you are taking a risk, when you are, let's say, whether studying abroad or, you know, like trust your intuition on a career choice or taking a risk somehow, go travel to somewhere that you don't know that many people.
Yeah.
Right. For example, like this time now we're recording this podcast actually in Germany. It's my first time in Germany, came here for my birthday and it's absolutely incredible. Every single day I'm being blown away, not only spending time with a dear friend, but also exploring to see the culture and everything, all that. It's just absolutely incredible. I'm talking about all the things that you've been doing and you've been working on the past few years. So just generally super curious about how you think about leadership and ethical and moral, because I know that when this is actually what you're written on your thesis.
Yeah, maybe. This is my master's thesis. So I studied philosophy and economics as my bachelor's degree. And then I was thinking about, oh, what do I do next? And the usual way today is to study management. And so I did a master's in management.
Right.
But when it came to writing my master's thesis, which in my opinion is supposed to be something that...
Like connecting everything together, kind of?
Exactly. Yeah. Connecting all the things that I've learned throughout my studies until that point and sharpening that rough information that I got and then like really stepping into it, what really interests me.
Yeah.
So at my master's, I thought, okay, what should I do? And I also wanted to write a nice master's thesis. I first thought about what does really interest me and how should I put everything together. And then my idea was to write about leadership and organizational design, because I think it's such a huge topic today. A lot of the traditional structures, how companies, organizations are built up, everything's going to change from now on. That's how I think. Like the new generation, we bring change with us and we need change. As we see, the world cannot go like this even further. We have to change things because of like climate change, culture,
technology, blockchain.
People want more freedom.
Yes.
People want to be
remote working. Right?
Exactly.
We want
to create a nice world. So leadership is the first thing, because leaders create our world, actually.
Leaders create
organizations, leaders create states, and they try to, in an ideal way, leaders try to make the best out of it for everybody. Mm-hmm. So everybody is better.
Yeah, it's like everybody is winning. Not only the leader or this like CEO win, not only the shareholder wins, but ideally everybody within the company and the customers and the clients all win.
All the stakeholders.
And exactly, right.
Not only shareholders, also the stakeholders.
Exactly.
And that was the first thing that I wrote about in my master's thesis. I was like, what does it mean to be ethical? And what does it mean to decide in an ethical way in a company? So I tried to figure out what does it mean. And then at first I had the discussion about stakeholders versus shareholder value. Mm. And I, in my opinion, I found out that stakeholder value is the thing that we should go for.
Yeah.
Because it just brings benefit to more people.
Right. Yeah.
Because stakeholders are not only the guys that own a company, it's like the people that work in there, it's the people that live around it, it's the people that...
The community
that cooperate with the organization and so on and so on and so on. So it's just more people that are getting what they need and deserve.
So
that's my thing. What I was writing, and then I was, what is actually ethical decision making?
Right.
This is the scene from Odysseus, basically the book from Homer. And Odysseus was like a Greek guy who he fought at Troy, and then he had to get back to his family in Greece, obviously.
Right.
So he had like his men on the ship, and what they did, they went back with the ship from Troy to Greece, and he faced some challenges on his way.
And temptation is a big one. And
he shows, in my opinion, the story of Homer, like the story that Homer was writing about Odysseus, just summarizes what leadership is in a very good way. And so there was this one challenge that he faced, and it was that they were going through the Strait of Messina. And as it said, the story, there are sirens in the water. These are like creatures, half human, half fish, or in this picture, just very nice women for that time. And they were going past them. And it said that these sirens, they are singing so nice that no man can withstand the temptation.
Yes.
So they are going to jump in the water.
Right.
And the ship is going to crash against the cliffs.
Yeah.
And these sirens, they are going to eat the man, basically.
Yeah.
And so the thing, like, what's leadership here? Odysseus knew about it.
Yeah.
So he knew that if we're going to meet those creatures, there's no way that we can ever resist the temptation.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he knew it before that, obviously. Yeah. Oh, no, everybody knows that if there's a certain situation coming, I wouldn't be able to resist it. But he wants to bring his men home. So he had to do one thing. And which was to...
So he pre-see that challenge and he committed himself that no matter what happened inside of the system, that no matter what happened, I'm not going to let myself jump into the water. So he literally tied himself right?
To the mast of the ship. Yeah. So he was, yeah, he would never be able to jump into the water.
Yeah.
And then what he did, he took wax and like sealed the ears of his sailors.
Yes.
So they wouldn't just, they would never hear the sounds, yeah, of the sirens.
Yeah.
And it would just keep rowing and going, yeah, past them.
Yeah.
And this is called a constitutional commitment, which means that sometimes we are able to foresee some situations where we know that it's very hard to resist the temptation and in order to restrain our own behavior,
right,
we have to do certain stuff.
Right.
There's this other idea, like try to make a diet,
yeah,
go on a diet, yeah, with a full refrigerator. It's,
yeah,
impossible.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
take everything out of the refrigerator, yeah, and then go on
no
diet.
No cookies and sugar in a pantry. Yeah, exactly.
And that's, he did the same thing.
Yeah.
And this is leadership. Leadership, there's no leadership without responsibility. And this is what the story says.
Yes.
And there's no leadership without responsibility. I just say it again because it's, I think it's very important.
It's very, very important and profound at the same, yeah, time, right? And I think this is also leading to another thing we talked about the other day, that in this case, a leadership is someone that is leading the direction of the company, right? And when it comes to another type of relationship, for example, romantic relationship, and a man or a woman, he or she could also be the leader of this ship called a relationship, right? And that requires responsibility and commitment as well, right? Could you comment on that when it comes to leadership in a romantic relationship, and what are something that the audience, you know, the younger version of ourselves, you know,
mm-hmm,
they would like to learn the secrets or tips so that they can make better decision coming into the next romantic relationship they're encountering?
It's always the same.
Yeah.
First of all, leadership is always the same. It,
right,
does depend in what kind of organization you are. I mean,
yeah,
you could technically say that a relationship is also a kind of organization or institutional, however you want to call it.
Right.
Because you're in a team.
Yeah.
It's just that that's a small team. It's just two people. And an organization, it's maybe 5 people, 10
right,
people,
yeah,
20, 50, 500, 5,000, 500,000 people.
Yeah.
What I think about relationships is that you like in every organization, you need a goal to strive,
yeah,
for.
Yeah, yeah.
Odysseus' goal was to get back to their families. So, you always have a goal, and then you,
right,
and with that goal in mind, you try to figure out your actions. For him, it's,
yeah,
easy. It's just drive the boat to my hometown, basically.
Yeah.
So the worst thing is to jump into the water and let,
yeah,
the boat crash. So just not do that. So it's,
yeah,
very easy to find a plan of actions for,
yeah,
you.
Yeah?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And in a relationship, you have to set up a certain goal, a certain vision, and then you should together work for it.
Yeah.
So you're pulling on the same string together. Yeah. In,
yeah,
the end, you, I mean, everybody has its own interests, and this is what relationships are about. You have to find compromise about those interests,
yeah,
and then find a goal together. What you want to, maybe do you want to create a family? Do you want to have,
yeah,
kids? Do you,
yeah,
want to live on an island later on? I don't know what it is. And you just
choose. And it's different for each relationship. Absolutely.
Sure,
right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
But you need that goal,
yeah,
because then you can always say, dude, we are in a team. So we cooperate. We are not doing the opposite.
Yeah,
we have to cooperate,
yeah,
and we have to find an alignment and then try to strive for that goal together. And this,
yeah,
is the same in a company. The leader's job is to align all the interests and that they achieve their goals.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And this is always the challenge. I mean, we are in a globalized world. There are different interests out there, and the challenge is always to find the common ground.
Find the alignment for people from all the world, right? People from,
yeah,
especially nowadays, more and more, with the last few years, more and more people working remotely, right? Let's say, I mentioned to you this company, like 50 people, all of them, maybe all of them are in different countries. How do they, or how do we align all these people, their personal like goal with the company goal?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something very interesting, right?
I think that's where we are today.
Yeah.
I think the traditional view is that I give my work and I get money for it. The company has its goals, and maybe there are some interests aligned, but not really all of them. And I think ideally, you have the same goal as the company you're working in.
Yeah, one comment on the goal when it comes to in a relationship, a romantic relationship, should people start setting goal already, even when they just start dating this person? Like the very beginning stage?
I think there are different challenges, but I think the sooner you got a common goal, the better it is, right?
And the common goal ideally should be like one party have a conversation with the other one and be like, this is what we are going to do, versus it's not like you are thinking you're on your own, be like, oh, this is what we're going to do without communicating with her or him.
You have to
that's very important,
and
right?
Find a common ground.
It'll be like, this is where we are going, not like this is, I think, where we're going.
Yeah.
And that the difference there is probably so many fights and so many breakups.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Because sometimes you expect something, but you're not talking about it. And the other person is expecting something and she or he's not talking about it.
Yeah.
And then,
as
you talk, you find out that, oh man, I do have very different expectations than my partner has. So is that even going to work out? Are we even able to align those? And I think there's very, very much as possible.
Yeah.
But if like the expectations are very, very far away from each other, it's even harder to align those.
Yes.
And that's a challenge. So you first have to find out what are your expectations, what are your own goals, and then you have to be able to communicate about it. And this is something that everybody, the most people have to learn. I had to learn it myself. It took me long, but I don't know what's long, what's not long. I mean, people when they are 50, they still break up, and then they had like different expectations. So maybe they've never learned it. I don't know. And this is the challenge, to first find out what are my goals, what do I need, what do I want out of this relationship, and then be able to talk freely and open and have tolerance and acceptance with your partner. And giving and receiving.
If the younger version of myself get into a relationship right now, I think I would tell him that a good goal to have, it will be finding your partner in crime. Not only you two can like go out and eat and do explore, travel, do all these exciting things together, but also at the same time, that someone that you're willing to build this bond, that you can share many, many things that maybe you are what we're not willing to necessarily talk to other people about, but we can talk to her or your partner about. And I think that's a pretty goal to have. And that is already requires quite amount of openness from your end and from her end as
and
well.
Communication skills as well.
Yes. That's definitely a good goal to have, no? Mm-hmm. Like, keep in mind.
And also, a good partner is somebody that helps you learn about yourself, in my opinion.
Yes.
That you can, by communicating with each other, that you find out about yourself and you find more things about yourself.
Yes.
So that's also the good thing about having a partner than being alone. You have like a sparring partner that always shows you, dude, that's not good, that's good. And you get like direct feedback from somebody who loves you, accepts you. But they also have the freedom to constructively criticize you, basically.
Absolutely. There will be tough love when it's needed. And you should expect tough love, you know? Oh, the fun fact, this...
Except if you are the perfect person, you wouldn't accept tough love, but who
exactly,
is?
Exactly. Hey, and then let's shift the topic to something a little bit more chill, more vibey, right? Could you tell us a little bit about... Just two things, you know, I mentioned after you before, but I want to hear some more insights. Tell us something about the Frankfurt sausage and the apple wine in the neighborhood. A little bit. Like your take, if you have, I don't know, like a childhood story about them or this and that, you know, could be everything or anything.
Okay.
Because I was studying them on my way here to like Frankfurt area, and I was like, get the expert.
I'm from the area, so I should have some information about it. That's right. Yeah. I mean, apple wine, it's like some sort of cider.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's actually sour and not sweet.
It's a totally different kind of apple than even American or Spanish cider, right?
Or the French cider.
Yeah.
I think cider is... Oh man, I think I'm not sure, but I think cider is originally from France.
Could be.
And then, but we have our own version of it, basically.
Yeah.
So the area where I'm from, we have a lot of like the Rhine area, basically.
Yeah.
And so we have certain kinds of mountains. They're like their grapes are growing there very, very well. And also other fruits, like apples, for example. So people used to make wine out of grapes and apples, And so, and we have our own kind of apple wine.
Okay.
And it's like I said, it's pretty sour. So you, you press the apples and then you just let it you just let it
go on, does this thing, no?
Yeah.
You
let it ferment. That's what that was the word that I'm searching for. You just let it ferment actually.
Also in a barrel?
Yeah. In a barrel. Okay, yeah. Okay. And like there's air coming out and stuff like that.
And it has to be certain temperature, so it could be kind of cold and
humidity, it has to be warm.
I said, okay.
Because fermentation goes better the more the hotter it is, actually. Yeah, because the bacteria, they are just going...
I've been to some vineyard. They're kind of cold. They're kind of chilly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure.
Like what? Well, maybe like somewhere in Spain that is like maybe outside 35 degrees and inside is 20. Well, I mean, that's still warm.
Yeah, it is warm.
That's still pretty warm, right? It's still warm, yeah. You're right.
I'm not saying 30 degrees. I mean, 20 degrees is pretty good. There's a temperature that's too low for fermentation. I don't know what it actually is. Then you should ask my girlfriend because she studies that.
She studies.
I mean, she does life science, cellular biology and stuff like that. Bacteria.
So she also studied that the bacteria, the fermentation process. She knows.
Yeah, so she knows that's also part of her. Thing.
We're gonna link her comments here in the show notes so that we have scientific insight for you
and I mean, just long story short, apple wine is a regional thing here. It's not that everybody in Germany drinks that. It's just around the Rhine Main area. That's where I'm from, like Frankfurt, and it's great. Try it out. It's everybody has their own taste, so there are like two kinds to drink it. I mean, like three. You can drink it just the apple wine,
okay,
or you mix it with sparkling water, or you mix it with Sprite. So then you have like a sweet and like a sour version.
In Spain, we have something similar, something like called a Tinto de Verano, which is called a summer wine, and then they will have wine with sparkling water or Sprite in it.
But is it white wine?
But red wine.
Oh, really?
Red wine. Yeah. Okay.
I've never had that before.
Super good.
I should get it.
Super good. Yeah. It's something they drink in the summer because it's just like mellow and chill. And
and then you asked me about like Frankfurt sausage. Like the word suggests. Because
they're freaking delicious. They're freaking delicious.
Like the word suggests, Frankfurt sausage are from Frankfurt. It's like, it was like historically... Making sausage is just a kind of preserving meat.
Mm-hmm. Preserve energy that is extremely important for civilization to develop.
Yeah.
For people to just like kind of buy this and eat it later. You know, it doesn't have to be like you eat it right now, otherwise it'll go bad.
So it doesn't go bad as fast, yeah.
Wait, did they have refrigerator at the time?
No.
That's a big thing. That's a huge thing.
I think refrigerators were like being common in like the 60s or 50s.
Yeah. And this was maybe, I don't know.
This was
100 years before.
More than 100 years,
Frankfurt. That was a huge deal at that time. We briefly mentioned that the way they could process the meat and could be preserved way longer than that period. And also in such a manner that it still tastes good, and was a huge deal.
Yeah. And also like making sausage, you can actually use a lot different parts of a pig, for example.
Right.
So you can put things in there that aren't that nice, but if you like put them with herbs and spices and then you preserve it actually starts to taste pretty good. And it's like, and also for the people that were like really hard working, so the Frankfurt area is like an industrial area.
That's right.
And we even had like a port in Frankfurt where they were like I think they were trading like coal and wood and stuff like that, and certain kinds of stones and stuff.
Right.
And so they, and then we also had an industrial area there. So the people need to have like a lot of calories every day if they work so hard. And and sausage is the best way. It's fatty, you got meat, it's protein. People had huge problems with getting enough protein in the Middle Ages.
Yes.
And making sausage is a good way to give people more protein, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't get bad as well.
Yeah.
And that's how the Frankfurt sausage eventually evolved in Frankfurt. It's made out of pig meat and then with certain spices.
Yeah.
And then I think they smoke it.
It tastes like that. Yeah. And fun fact, I think the Vienna sausage is very famous, but apparently it was the same dude that who was originally from Frankfurt and then he made the sausage super popular in Frankfurt. Then he went to Vienna and he kind of like had this like 2.0 thing, which is exactly the same sausage, but the original came from Frankfurt.
Yeah, I think the process is exactly the same.
Yeah.
But what I've heard is that, and I'm quite confused right now, but there are Vienna sausages made out of veal, like baby cow,
We talk about that the other day, yeah.
And so I am not sure, but there's also Vienna Schnitzel, like Wiener Schnitzel in German.
And
it's also made out of veal.
Veal.
And then there's normal Schnitzel, which is made out of pig. So
I
think, but I don't know for sure, that Vienna... They just had veal there, so they made also tried
to. They called it a different name.
Then they preserved it, and then they made sausages out of them, and then you had like, Vienna sausage made out of veal as well.
Yeah,
and also the schnitzel made out of veal.
That this brand you mentioned, like 11th generation, right? Do they have veal sausage?
They put pig and veal in it.
Okay.
They
together it, in the one.
It's like a new company from the area and they make their own sausages.
It's one of the best.
One of the best brands for sausages, definitely, because they just put good stuff in there. It's quality. You don't get like the bad meat stuff. It's very quality. They put so much work in it. I think it's a good thing. Yeah. And apparently the animals are also feeling well while they are living and
good that's important, that's quite important, you know.
So I like it, and they are a little bit more expensive, but if you want to eat something good, you should also be willing to pay a little bit more. How I see it.
Absolutely
So if you're around the area and you're in a supermarket and you have barbecue, get 11th generation sausages. Also, there's no this is no advertisement or anything. I don't even know the guys. I just like curious what's going on and what the future holds.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, what your podcast holds. Yeah.
Definitely. Absolutely. Want to, from asking this question, having conversation with my friends, to hopefully come across a bit about the way we are thinking, the way we're viewing the world, and because we have. Obviously, we don't have all the answers, right? But we have made plenty of mistakes and we have done plenty of trial and error to be able to sharpen our thinking, to sharpen our idea of the world. And we really hope that that will be beneficial for the listeners out there.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Because, for example, the mistakes that we have made when it comes to leadership, when it comes to relationship or whatnot, if you listen to this podcast and if you could be like, we're about to make a decision, you could be thinking, oh, I heard this from somewhere, then you make the better decision. And then that will be super helpful because that might save you 6 months, 3 days, 3 years, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm reading books, because there are like people writing down some of their experiences, and then you don't have to. You can learn out of their faults without doing them yourself, right?
Yeah.
And also another general thing is, the earlier you make certain mistakes, the better it is, because the consequences aren't that high
if you are older. So when you're older, you are like, your kids gotta go to college, your wife, you know, your second kid's coming, all that kind of stuff, and obviously you don't necessarily want to let's just start a company then. You want to do it now when you are super healthy and have like more time on your hands, right? So
yeah, definitely.
So that actually leads to the final last question, and which I think you're gonna love them. You're going to heaven tomorrow, right? For example, right? And you only have one piece of paper, you know, something that you accumulate, the biggest two lessons that you could write on this piece of paper that you could leave onto the world. What would those two bullet points be?
I think I already told them.
Yeah.
There's no leadership without responsibility.
Right.
And if you're going to make mistakes, make them early.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. I've learned those things, and so I can definitely say those.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to give.
Wow.
give out. Yeah,
the gold nuggets, you know, absolutely.
Yeah,
beautiful. Julian's legacy. So what is one book that you can think about out of your head right now that is one of your favorites? Because we got plenty of options here.
Yeah, sure.
I was reading the How to Become a CEO yesterday. It's a very simple, short book.
That's it. It's just simple and short.
Yeah. Love Them or Lose Them. I think that's an interesting title. I personally really like 0 to 1. I recommend everybody to read it.
Oh, yes. Sure. Yeah, definitely.
That's a good one.
I think... Oh, man. It's hard. That's very hard, the question.
Yeah.
But I... Also, there's like, for me, there's like different kinds of categories for books.
Yes.
So right now I'm in like a rabbit hole because I've been reading Friedrich Nietzsche quite a lot lately. Yeah. Also started with it for my master's thesis because he tells us a lot about like society, how it changed.
Nietzsche, the guy who said
God is dead.
God is dead. He's a German philosopher, right? Yeah.
He's
I know our boy Jordan Peterson also quite love to talk about him.
yeah, definitely.
The boy.
And then Friedrich Nietzsche's favorite writer from Germany is Heinrich Heine.
Heard of him. What book he wrote?
He was more like a public writer for like newspapers and stuff like that. But he did also write like essays. I was reading. Oh, the pronunciation "Ecce Homo" from Nietzsche. Then in that book he mentions Heinrich Heine because he says this is one of his favorite romantic writers. From Germany. So I love romantic literature, actually. So I started reading Heinrich Heine, and then Heinrich Heine, he was writing about the Middle Ages, how Christianity was shaping our belief systems, like with one God, we have like one ideal goal.
Everybody should be like that. And
Like we have 10 commandments, you have to follow those, and then you're making God happy, and then you're going to heaven, basically. Yeah. The thing with that is that in the Middle Ages, we had a huge problem, which is that everything that is man-made was pretty bad, and everything that's spiritual is ideal. And so like everything man-made, as I said, is bad. So it actually makes your life pretty bad if you think like, oh, I want to do this and want to do that, but you already always know this is not what God wanted me to do.
Yeah.
And this makes your life sort of miserable and very average.
Yeah.
It helps some people because if they just have a shitty life, they have hope. They still have hope. They have the worst life and they know if I die, it's not over going to heaven, which is a nice thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't solve all the problems we have.
Yes. And especially throughout the time changes and then that those kind of like loopholes are just being revealed more and more when it comes to math and physics and all the other technology being revealed into the public.
Yeah.
And
every culture has like solves problems, and every culture also brings its own problems with it. So there's no ideal thing, in my opinion.
Yes.
There's just a certain time, and then you need the right structure that solves the problems that are the worst at the moment.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if like the biggest problem is climate change, because it's an actual topic right now,
everybody talks
about it, then you have to question what kind of culture solves that problem the best, right? If you want to solve it. That's again, like I'm having a general goal and I want to solve it. So I have to find the ideal way to get to my goal, right?
What do you think is the biggest problem for... sounds so funny. What do you think is the biggest problem for our generation?
Getting out of those old structures, like the traditional structures, and just leaving the old world as it was and then creating a new one. And this is also the thing that Friedrich Nietzsche said with the quote that God is dead, because after stopping to believe in God, you
need to have something new.
You need a new system.
Otherwise... Yeah, people don't believe in anything and people go crazy and people go.
And you need a new system and it's our challenge to create a new one. And then he says, basically, don't we have to become gods ourselves to be able to face this challenge? And the thought is that every human has a godly part in him, because yeah, you can absolutely make order out of chaos. This exactly is also the thing that that Jordan Peterson
yeah talks about, right?
This yeah is like the godly spark that everybody has, yeah, is that, yeah, you can
create. We have the intelligence, we have the creativity chaos, to yeah to be able to make things happen. And even though things seem like incredibly hard, or even quote unquote impossible, or never been done before.
Yeah, people like Alexander the Great or something like that, they had like huge visions, and yeah, like yeah 2000 more years ago, yeah, they just yeah, yeah, yeah went from Greece to India and they conquered the whole world, yeah, and they just did it in a lifetime, like 15 years, and then he died.
Yeah,
which is crazy. I yeah mean, this is like yeah he built the biggest empire on earth in yeah like 15 years.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's possible if you really believe in it.
Yeah,
I mean, I totally see that there's something godly in him. I'm not saying that everything he did was right and it's the right way to conquer other countries and stuff like that, but just the fact what he did, I mean, that's the same thing with certain companies today.
When the leadership is in place, and that almost somewhat guarantee, or it's a pretty safe to say for this organization, is have higher chance for them to accomplish great things. When the leadership's in, they're in place, right? When there's way less meeting, there's way less bullshit, there's way less what's that thing called? Corruption, or that kind of thing. It just make the system more efficient.
Yeah.
Produce more outcome.
Yeah. And better outcomes everybody, for everybody.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Yes. Ah. I would say, Julian, thank you so much for this time and conversation. And
yeah, thank you as well.
Originally, you know, we briefly mentioned, originally just want to be a free flow conversation, and however, I think relationship, leadership, and this
society,
and society, and this curiosity about wandering, reading books, traveling has always been our topic in our lives, and
yeah,
most likely, and maybe every single person among our this generation. Potentially, right? And I just found this fascinating. I just found it fascinating because yeah we could be talking about whatever. We're talking about like culture and traveling the sausage and what wine, but it always leads back to these few things.
Yeah, always you always get back to the same point you're starting off with, like
yeah
common interests,
yeah
being free,
yeah
doing something better than yeah it was before,
yeah
and yeah creating something new. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's also like the spiritual thought that everything is connected. It is, sort of.
I do right? think so. I do think so.
Yeah.
I do think so. Really, otherwise, the story you have at the beginning of the podcast, the car with the gym, you know, me with the stories happening in Berlin and all that, and life is just incredible. So,
yeah.
We dearly hope that you really enjoy this podcast as much as us enjoy recording it. Some insight for leadership, some insight for relationship, some insight for the awesome sausage and apple wine here in this area. And shout out to our dear friend Julian, you know, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's go. We gotta keep doing more episodes, and I'm super stoked.
And I hope you're having me another time.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Absolutely, brother. We're out here, G.
Yeah, all the best.
We're out here, G. Yeah, brother.